When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, the focus is on a promise, and then it's also on how one person responded to God, and then another person responded to God on a very similar situation that could be extremely dangerous, but yet one person rejected God and faith, and the other person embraced it. I think you can tell which was which out of the scripture reading. So let's go back to the time of Isaiah and try to put a little bit of a picture on what was going on at that point. I told you that Isaiah was a prophet over a long period of time, and that's why he's considered a major prophet, because he prophesied many times, not just once or very minimal. So he was prophet when Ahaz was king at this point, and Ahaz was king over Judah, which it was the southern kingdom, which was also the area in which Jerusalem was located, and also the area in which Bethlehem was located. The kingdom had long since split north and south, the north being Israel, the south being Judah. And just like the north and south many, many years ago, they didn't really get along, did they? So here we are in Isaiah's time, and the people have done what? They have not embraced what God has promised them. They have not embraced the law. They have really just embraced themselves. We remember before the kings, in the book of Judges, the very, very last verse in the book of Judges says what? It says, and they did what was right in their own minds, and there was no king in the land. They basically did what they wanted, so they were kind of rejecting God. So here's God on the outside, here's God looking at his creation, his chosen people, and how do you think he's feeling? How would you be feeling if your children were so rebellious, so self-centered, and just so rejected everything that you taught them? Would you be happy? Would you feel good? Wow, and look down and like he did in Genesis and say, when he created man, and he said, and it was good. Do you think he's feeling that way? I don't. I don't. I think they're lucky that he only did what he did. So, at the time of Ahaz, there's chaos. And Ahaz is trying to protect the southern kingdom, Judah. So Isaiah comes to Ahaz. God tells Isaiah a little bit in before this scripture. He says, I want you to go tell Ahaz that to ask me for help, to ask me for a sign that proves that I am the Lord. You don't need to worry about anything else. You don't need to do anything. But I want you to go do that. So Isaiah, being faithful, He goes to Ahaz and he says, as Cain read, he says, again, the Lord spoke that as he said, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. Now, this was a little unique. It wasn't a simple one. So he's basically telling Ahaz, you can even be whatever you want. Just ask a question, showing that you have faith in God, that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And you don't have to reach out to all these other kingdoms. You don't have to worry because it's in God's hands. Now think about us in a situation when there's chaos in our life, when it feels like everything's falling apart. Where do we turn? Where do we turn? That's something to keep in mind as we move on further here. So how does Ahaz respond? You know, so when I first read this, I thought, well, gosh, that was a pretty noble, unselfish way to respond. He responds by, he says, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to test. I thought, well, what's wrong with that? What's so bad about that? I mean, he's saying, look, I'm not going to test you, Lord. But you see, the problem is Ahaz has already taken matters into his own hands. He's gone against God. He's made a pact with the Assyrians to come down from Syria and wipe out Israel. He's already signed that deal. Is that what God wanted him to do? No. No. It's not what God wanted him to do. So how did God respond to Ahaz's disobedience? How did he respond? So he said, well, Isaiah says to him, well, you know what? If you don't want to ask a question, God thinks this is pretty darn important. He's going to tell you what he's going to do. So here's what God's going to do. Hear then, O house of David. House of David, very important. This is Matthew's. Matthew goes back to this because David is out of the lineage of David comes who? Jesus, out of the branch of Jesse, right? Out of the house, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary me? That you weary my God also. Therefore, and whenever you're reading scripture and you see the word therefore, really, really pay attention to it. Because it's therefore a reason, right? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, wake up. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So you say, okay. What's the big deal? Can you imagine if you were Ahaz, you're sitting there worried about getting wiped out by a powerful army in the north, and you've just made a deal with some other people who don't really believe you. It's kind of like your enemies of your friends or your friends in one of those deals, and he feels he's more powerful, so in the end, it's going to work out great for him. He's going to keep his stuff. He's going to get rid of that problem, and they're going to leave him alone. And then all of a sudden, he's got this crazy prophet coming here telling him, okay, you didn't want to ask God any question. He basically opened it all the way up to whatever you can imagine. So the difference between Sheol and heaven is like, you can't get any bigger difference, right? And yet, so I'm going to throw you one. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to bring a Savior into this world. You know, but the sad part is you're not going to be around to see it. You think Ahaz figured it out at that point, what Isaiah was really referring to? I don't think so. I think he totally missed the boat. Totally. Fast forward a few hundred years to Joseph. Joseph, wow. So at Christmas, we talk a lot about the Virgin Mary, right? The mother of Jesus. And that's appropriate, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest, she is the mother of Jesus. And a lot of the story that goes behind that, just like he said here, the virgin birth. And let me tell you, in the scripture in that day, that was a big deal. We may dismiss it or try to dismiss it today and say, well, that really wasn't true. That couldn't possibly happen. No, they believed. They believed in those days. So they if he would have thought of that, he would have thought, whoa, this is big, really big. So let's fast forward to Joseph. Betrothed. I'm sure y'all know what the word betrothed means, right? So a common practice in that culture was that at some point in your childhood, this parent and this parent were going to decide that our daughter and son were perfect for each other. And they were going to be married at some point. Then about a year before the actual marriage was going to take place, you would become betrothed. So we would go, and in this case, the dad would go to the husband-to-be would go to the parents, and this is where he would do the negotiating of how much, hey, I got five chickens and a couple of turtle doves and a plot of land here, and this is what I'll give you for your daughter. And then the father accepts, and you're betrothed. So now, that lasts approximately a year, okay? So during that time, Mary, or the wife-to-be, is spoken for. So if, for instance, the husband-to-be dies during that time, the wife would be treated as if she was widowed. It would be no different. The only thing that has not happened at this point is the marriage had not been consummated. So fast forward to the wedding day, which was about a week. It was a big process, a big ceremony and all that. And that's where and that's when the marriage was consummated. So we know from the story here what would happen to Mary if she got pregnant during this time of betrothed. I think I said it right. What would happen to her? Would it work out well for her? They had this process called stoning, which is quite brutal. Could you imagine standing there and people just throwing rocks at you? I can't. Joseph, were he to take a woman that is already pregnant, puts him in a very difficult position as well. I'm not minimizing the danger that Mary was in, but I'm also showing you how the decision that Joseph makes is huge. It's huge. Because going into it, he thought, okay, well, we're just going to kind of sweep this under the rug, and no harm, no foul. You go on, and it was as if it just wasn't meant to be. And I won't speak badly of you. You won't speak badly of me. We didn't do anything wrong. It just goes away. Don't we deal with things in our own lives like that sometimes? We just want them to go away. But Joseph goes to sleep, and God comes to him through an angel, which angel means what? Messenger. That's another name for angel. The angel comes to him in his sleep, and it doesn't say in this case who the name. It could have been Gabriel. It's very possible. So the angel comes to him, and he says, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got a different plan for you. I want you to take here's Mary's situation, and here's what I want you to do. And he wakes up from it now, and he responds obediently. Can you imagine the ridicule that he would have received over that next year? Because it's not like the movies today where they can kind of do all kinds of things to show they're not pregnant in the movies, right? No, this was in their community. And Joseph was an honorable man. He was a carpenter by trade, right? So can you imagine the ridicule, the questions, the doubt, just everything that went on behind him? And he knew it was coming, but yet he stayed loyal to Mary. And in staying loyal to Mary, who was he loyal to? God. A decision, the difference between the decision that Joseph made when approached from a message from God and Ahaz made is night and day, right? The question is that we should ask ourselves in this is, how do we respond when God comes to us? And you say, well, gosh, God doesn't come to me. That's not true. He does all the time. Maybe not in such a pronounced way, but in the way we go through our lives, the decisions we make in our families, the decisions we make with our neighbors and friends and at work, God's hand is in that. It always is. The question is, are we going to respond as God's promise wants us to, or are we going to respond out of ourselves? That's the battle that goes on within us. That's the battle that goes on within me. You see, to do as Joseph did takes tremendous faith, does it not? To respond as Ahaz did takes belief in oneself. And we can see where that got him. We can see that didn't work out. But I will tell you the promise, and I love this I'm going to close with this passage in Joshua. And this was Joshua before he was getting ready to go out. And he's, you know, and if you remember the story, Joshua took over from Moses. And they got into the promised land. And they had been there for a while now. And Joshua's reminding the people. He says, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. When God makes a promise, what happens to it? He delivers. So we can have confidence in that because the definition of promise is a cause or ground for hope, right? So if we don't believe that, you know, somebody says, well, I promise you I'll go and be, you got kids. We all have kids. I promise, Dad, I'll do that. I'll clean my room. Problem is we didn't say when. But they will, right? No. But when God says, I promise you that I'm going to send you a Savior. He's going to be born of a virgin. We're going to wrap him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger. That promise is going to come true every single time. Now, which one are we going to believe? Are you going to go on your own? Or are you going to go on what he tells us? I hope and pray that you choose his path, at least more often than not. And I hope you'll pray that I do the same. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.
Amen.